And welcome to Sister Sage Herbs Roadside Herb Service. My name is Mark Fendel, and this is Jane Simmons.
Hello.
And Jane is the owner and CEO of SisterSageHerbs.com. Check us out on the internet. Anyway, today I wanted to ask you, Jane, about your kind of top most important influencers, people that you took classes from, or people that you've, you know, learned from over the years. So anyway, that's my question for you.
Who'd
you learn from?
Well, I would, we talked about a few things already, but I'm going to deviate already before. And I would have to say my very first influence was John Rashford from college days.
Fair enough.
Ethnobotany teacher. Mm-hmm. Anthropology teacher, talking about herbs and all their uses, not just herbs, but plant medicine, plants, for all the different uses and how we evolve with plants. So that would be number one person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Dr. Rashford, if I could just add, you know, he's...
just retired.
Yeah, just retired from College of Charleston.
I believe I was in his first class where he came in with a guitar and started strumming and talking in his Jamaican accent, and who wouldn't love to go to another class by him?
He's a phenomenal teacher and
lots of
mentor and an authority on the baobab tree.
Yes. Yes.
Which is a very interesting tree.
African tree of life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's been a lot of mystery around the tree. It blooms at night in the rainy season by bats.
It's an amazing tree.
It's hollow on the inside. When it gets old, it's, you know, kind of like the redwoods get old and hollow on the inside, but they're still growing around. Mm-hmm. That is how it grows. And so it's kind of spooky. There's some places... They bury their dead in there.
In the baobab tree?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Crazy. And then the baobab...
But the fruit is really what people drink. They're really fresh. It's kind of like... I've never had one. But it's kind of like a gourd, I think. And then you... it's like juice. You somehow make a juice out of it. Yeah. And the, and the flowers open at night. That's why the bats pollinate them. Crazy.
They live a long, long time, those trees.
Yeah.
And then they decompose really fast when they fall over and die.
Is that right?
I think so. I remember reading that, but.
There are some that kind of, I know this just from seeing some of his pictures from the trips that he's taken. He's measured, I would say, every tree in the temperate area, especially in the Americas, and he tried to trace it back to, like, literally one lady who transplanted, like, gave away seven cuttings. And then where they're planted, and you can tell that a tree was in a pot because it has the twirling kind of root system.
I see.
And so some kind of twirl around each other because they were sat in the pots too long or whatever.
When they were young.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
And so then that they have that nature, so you can tell the ones that were, you know, from a seed versus transplant. At least that's what he was saying. And there are, some that kind of look like that banyan where they go down, reach the ground, or just anything that touches roots, you know?
Sure.
And so it's like a big elephant looking. Anyway, that's John Rashford, and that's just, for me, a big influence in thinking about how we evolve with food. I was a cook at that time in college, so you know, I was a foodie already, so seeing how cultures form around habits and fermentations and all kinds of things that affect, you know, what you would think of as a culture, you know. I mean, think of sourdough culture, and you think of someone's fermented dish, you know. All around the world there's some kind of kimchi or sauerkraut or something that's made that has to be handed down and handed down, you know. There's not a cookbook. It's like the family, you know, sauerkraut crock. And that's the family heirloom right there. It's the culture. Yeah. That ends up being your food and your body, all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. But as far as herbal studies, I would say once I decided to do an herb farm.
Wait, let's just finish about John Rashford for a second. Sure. I just want to finish up on that.
Sure.
And just say, you know, it will be very interesting to kind of see where, what he does after his, you know, after retirement here. And I just want to acknowledge just an incredible career of teaching and inspiration.
Yes, and in Charleston, South Carolina.
In Charleston, and
for 33 years, I believe, maybe longer.
Yeah.
And starting in 1984, 82 maybe, something like that, until, 2018. Wow, what a career.
Yeah, Dr. Awesome. Rashford is great as they come.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so hopefully I'll get to interview him about plants.
Oh, yes. You know, that would be fascinating. Or just about baobab tree or maybe another topic around ethnobotany.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But anyway.
So.
Yes. Yeah.
And so that was college. That was a while ago. And then I moved to Seattle and I worked in the food industry again and had access to this land trust piece of property, a half acre. The question was, what would you do with a half acre? So I decided herbs. I thought, didn't know much about making things. I kind of was thinking essential oils or dried herbs, you know, fresh herbs to people who knew what they were already doing. So that led me to Michael Pilarski, who is pretty much the authority in the Northwest, I would say from Montana over all the way to Oregon, Cascadia, perhaps you might call it. although he probably knows the Siskiyous quite well as well. But anyway, He has developed many, many farms, medicinal herb farms all over the Northwest. And he also has a lot of wildcrafting spots that he knows of. And he goes out and picks herbs and or grows herbs and just keeps them coming. He's got a yurt that he dries everything in. He just hangs everything. It's all in eastern Washington, so it's very dry there. So in the summertime, they can produce quite a bit of things. Some with water, some just they go and find on their land or on other lands. And then he's got a lot of people who call him to make, when they're making medicines, he sends them the fresh herbs or the freshly dried herbs. And he has a website called friendsofthetrees.org, I believe, .net.
We'll put it in the,
something.
We'll put it in the description of this podcast. So
that was around 2001 when I got the land. I think in 2003 or 2004, I heard about this conference, this fair that he had put on, the herbal fair. And so I had a booth there and I had my dinky little set up. I don't even know if I had a table. I had like a blanket and a sign. And my sister and I like sold herbs there. And, you know, of course there were like all of these other herbal people who have been in the business for, you know, 15, 25, 35 years at that point. And this was, you know, now almost 20 years ago. So that was quite, you know, like, oh, right, I don't really know anything about herbs. All these other people know so much more. So a couple of those people who I met there were also Northwest herbalists. One, Eagle Song Gardner, and she and her partner, her former partner, Sally King, who was a Bastyr professor, they had an apprenticeship program. So a lot of people that I knew in the circles had gone through their program. And it's was, I think she might still be doing it, but I'm going to have to find out that, put that details in the podcast somewhere. But
sure.
I think it was like a 9-month, you know, herbal studies program and very methodical. She has some land with the goats and a nice farm and also some wild grafting. And her herb of choice is hawthorn. So I've been listening to her talk about hawthorn. I could go to every single conference and listen to her speak and it wouldn't be the same. She'd have something else to talk about.
Agreed.
Yeah. So that was really cool listening to her talk. She's real down to earth and really, really cool. And then another lady who I went by her booth at that first conference and tried out her, I forgot what it's called, but it had a cottonwood balm and it had cottonwood and arnica and a couple other things. And I tried it on and I could feel it immediately help my back. So that was really cool. That's when I was like, I need to figure out how to make this stuff too. Because I was just trying to sell the little herbs by themselves and they were pretty pitiful little bags of herbs and stuff. But that woman is Julie Sherratt Nunn and she runs Crow's Daughter Apothecary over on Whidbey Island. And she probably is crowsdaughter.com for some nice lotions and things like that that she makes.
Yeah, we'll put all that in
there. We'll put a bunch of links in there. But those would be the main first people that I met. You know, some professors from Bastyr at herb fairs. They have herb food and herb fair every year, which just passed and is just always a wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would just sign up for any conference, read any book about herbs, anything, really. Just give me another. Really, my seed catalog was just about as valuable as anything else. Very short and succinct descriptions.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just try to figure it out what you want to grow from there.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how it all started.
Yeah. I will. I would like to say another thing about Eagle Song, too, is that she just finished the Ventures program, right?
Yeah. And I suggested
so,
that.
Congratulations to Eagle Song on that. That is awesome.
Yeah.
And I guess she's developing a product, so we will anxiously await. That will be some, I'm sure will be some very powerful medicine, so.
Mm-hmm. The reveal.
That is really exciting. Especially somebody who is the absolute authority on hawthorn tree and
many other herbs.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. But specifically, you know, that's her specialty. So.
Yeah.
And what an incredible specialty it is, because there are thousands of species of hawthorn. I had no idea.
She knows every...
Oh my gosh.
She can catalog them.
Yeah, she's been to multiple continents, researching this tree and...
Powerful, powerful.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to interview her too. Well, we'll have the subsequent interviews from some of my mentors. And
thankfully, you know, we have amazing people around us like Eaglesong that we can talk to, and learn from. So that's pretty special.
Yes. I know. Very, very cool. I could go on and on about other people that
I have many mentors.
But we can...
Myself.
Well, I could mention Rich Ocheck from Strictly Medicinal Seeds, formerly called Horizon Herbs. He was the chief grower for the herb farm in Williams, Oregon. Mm-hmm. And, they still only grew a portion of their own plants, but I know they grow all their own arnica and a few other beautiful plants. I had the honor of going to a little field day with United Plant Savers. Another hop over to Rosemary Gladstar influencer, but we're not going to go there. Anyway, Rich Ocheck was the grower, and then he developed a seed company, probably, out of the need to save the seeds that you're going to be growing for the medicinal herbs that you can grow. But he's an ethnobotanist as well, and so he goes all over the place searching for the seeds of different plants and then tries them out and then, gets them to go to seed in Oregon. So that's more of our climate, even though they're a little bit more south and a little warmer. They have a colder at night too. So if it'll survive there, it's probably going to be pretty good. All of our seeds have been great from them. Mm-hmm. So anyway, and plants, they have plants too. So I would say definitely, like I said, I was carrying around his seed catalog, and I had the honor of meeting him also at that one of those conferences. And I remember just going and being like, oh my gosh, he's so cool, he's so cool. He like grows all the seeds, and oh my gosh, he's been doing it for so long, that's so cool. And I was like, well, I have some questions. So I like went over and I like bought something, and I was like, I'm kind of having a hard time getting some of my seeds to grow, And he kind of asked me a couple questions, and I don't even know what now. And then he was like, well, do you grow your own food? And I was like, well, kind of, He was like, well, why don't you start growing your food in there with the other plants and, see how that goes. And so, I did. And of course it works, because you can tell when your lettuce is wilting. So you water it. So anyway, basil. It's like, okay, grow your own culinary herbs and make sure you know how to do that. And I really didn't when I first started growing. I didn't know how to grow very much at all. So kind of whatever came up.
Yeah, well, worked. It's part of learning.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
All right, folks. I think we should... We'll leave it there. We'll do another podcast with talking about more influencers. And, I know that you have a lot more people than that.
Oh, yeah.
And there's, of course, all the people that we've talked about who have written books, like Rosemary Gladstar, that we've already mentioned in this podcast almost every program by some fashion or another.
Susan Weed.
And,
Matthew Wood.
Yeah.
Seven Song.
Yeah. And who could forget Scott Kluse?
Of course.
Thank you all so much for listening to our tiny podcast. We're having fun making these shows, talking about plant medicine. And we will catch you next time. Cheers.
Cheers.
SisterSageHerbs.com. Go there. It's cool. Like you.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.